There is a God. He is alive. In Him we live and we survive. That's our testimony. If the testimonies this morning has not helped us in our perspective of a Christian life, I think we need to do some heart searching. Because God is the Almighty God. There is nothing too big. We can't ask too big. You know, oh, I'm going to get ahead of myself because it's starting to roll. See, this subject is so huge. It's just, and then when the first Sunday of next month, we'll be sharing on kingdom building versus empire building. I've been teaching on this now for 2 years, and we're supposed to narrow it down in 10 to 15 minutes. And I'm still not through. I've probably got another year to go. And it's so big. There's so much to learn about the kingdom of God. And you know, if we want to get somewhere in life, in our Christian walk, the very first thing we have to nail down is our perspective of God. That's key. Who God is. And is He real? God is as real as this thing I'm holding. He's not just this air being somewhere. He's real. Well, good morning and welcome. So many times I forget to welcome you all. Welcome to the visitors. Glad you're here. And we'll continue today in the as we journey through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And as we prepare to look into the scripture then, and as I was looking into it, I felt the sense that we need to lay a foundation. It's kind of like Jesus is kind of turning the tide a little bit again. And the two key words and concepts that I want you to focus on is the perspectives and the priorities. Because that's really what Jesus is going to be teaching in this section at least, if not the rest of his sermon. But first, even for the sake for the children, so they understand, is what is or what are perspectives? Because I can be preaching, and if the children don't understand what a perspective is, they have no clue what I'm talking about. Kind of like this, there's this dad, he was on the roof with his son. And he told his little son, now don't go to the edge. And next thing he knew, this little boy was getting close to the edge. So he went and he spanked him, got him back. Now don't go to the edge. After the third time, the little boy finally asked, Dad, what is the edge? So we can be teaching and teaching and they have no clue what we're teaching because they don't even know what we're talking about. So that I don't want to stand up here and waste my time that the children don't understand what I'm talking about. Because this is so key. They got to get the right perspective of God. First, it's a viewpoint. It's how we see things, how we view things. And it's an outlook. And it is a filter through which we see and evaluate everything. Kind of sums it up. You know, you've heard, you know, she sees everything through rose-colored lenses. That's her perspective. Or he sees everything through gray lenses. That's their perspective. the lens that we see life. It's the lens that we see God. And the lens in how, in our perspective of God is what our perspective is of life. There's another word today that's popular, and that is worldview. That's a perspective. Your worldview. It's the ideas and beliefs through which we as individuals, as a group, or culture look at our world and interact with it based on that viewpoint. That's what I'm talking about, a perspective. But see, there are issues with some of the perspectives. We can have the wrong perspective due to faulty information, wrong teaching, even incomplete information will cause us not to see clearly. That's why it's so key. We got to keep everything balanced as we teach so that we can have a complete, sound perspective. And that's why I wanted to stop and lay this foundation so we don't just muddle through Christ's teaching. So we understand what is he talking about and keeping a balance as we go section by section. Because the right perspective is essential to having the right priorities. So now, well, just in case the children don't understand, you know, children, do you like riding a bike? Is that fun? If you think it's fun, that's your perspective of riding a bike. Does that make sense? That's how you see riding a bike, is it's fun. So, if you think that riding a bike is fun, now your priority becomes, I want to ride that bike. Does this make sense? How this all works? So the priorities, what are they? It is what we regard as most important. Because our perspective determines our priorities. Then there's another that I didn't have in the title. It came later. It was revealed to me. It says, whoa, you know what? It's these three P's. The three P's in a pod. It's our perspective determines our priorities, and our priorities determine our practices. You know, instead of telling someone, you got to get your priorities straight, they got to get their perspective straight. Because we can muster up this thing that we get our priorities straight, supposedly, but we're going to have a hard life. Always disciplining myself and just doing it my own way to cause me not to do this. But if we get our perspective right, because if our perspective is, I can't do this, it's the Holy Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. I'm getting ahead of myself. Walking in the Spirit. And in that, I'll pursue. My priorities is that, is to walk in the Spirit. And then my practice will follow that. He'll never let us down. I am the one that walks away. You know, and even with my messages or all our messages that we have here, or when you listen to the radio, there's messages or YouTube, I'll listen to some. It's just sometimes it gives you new insight. I want to warn you, even here, keep a biblical perspective of what we're teaching. Because it will affect your priorities. If we listen, if I'm teaching and you get a perspective of I'm teaching on this is what I got to do, you'll form yourself a checklist. This is what I got to do. This is what I got to do. That's not scriptural. That's faulty information that you're getting. But when we can focus on, this is who we are. It's my being. It's the Beatitudes. Remember here, we just came out of the Beatitudes. Well, it's been about a year and a half ago or whatever we came through the Beatitudes. But the Beatitudes, it's who we are to be. Now, Jesus is assuming that's who we are while he's teaching. So we're doing this out of our being. It's not a checklist of doing and doing and doing. Now I am that. No, I am that. That is why I'm doing it. That's the proper perspective. You know, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Okay? And Peter instructs us to love each other with a pure heart. See, Peter had the perspective right. We need a pure heart. They'll see God. So if someone, you know, if we hear stories of them seeing God or a vision of God or an angel, what happens? I mean, it's, oh, the wretch I am. Automatically, if we have a pure heart, you know, there's people, there's been people who have confessed their sins, they have forgiven, and absolutely not pure in the heart. It does not cause you to be pure in heart. But a pure in heart person, he's seen God, he will confess his sin, and there will not be unforgiveness in that heart because he's pure. It can't be there knowingly. Does that make sense? Keep the right perspective. Don't make a checklist and think, oh, now I've done it. You're still lost. You're going at it the wrong way. Because in the end, I've shared this before. Well, Lord, have we not in thy name cast out devils and have we not ministered unto you? They had the checklist. Go from me. I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. Why? Because it wasn't out of their pure heart. It had the wrong motive. It had the wrong perspective. So it's key. We've got to keep the right perspective when we're listening or teaching. It's on me too. And will a pure in heart person, I'm just going through the last couple of messages that we've had. I had to think, you know, well, as I was sitting there, surely a pure in heart person will also be conscious of his conscience. And the thoughts, if we're truly, our perspective is right and our priorities are right and our practices are right, our thoughts are right. If we're walking in the Spirit, our thoughts are right. I sometimes struggle with my thoughts, but it's not God's fault. It's my fault. I've slid in the way. I stopped walking with the Spirit. I shall not be moved. This is not fair, or whatever. But once I go back there, you know what? I got to start walking with the Spirit again. My thoughts are right again. Does that make sense? It's not something we muster up. It's the work of the Lord in us and through us. Sorry, I missed that. I was going to show the pure heart. And in that being and doing, I'm not minimizing that we need to be aware and we need to be alert. It doesn't mean we can just go through life and, oh, it's all under control. No, no, no. We need to be aware of what we're doing to bring the balance. It's our responsibility. And often, take inventory. Because, see, if we have the right perspective today, not a guarantee we'll have that right perspective Wednesday. We need to take a personal inventory and get on track again.
That's our responsibility.
To search our heart. That's the problem. When you get ahead of yourself, you kind of lose her.
One other perspective. I don't know where I've heard it, but I've heard it be said, you know, oh, they're self-taught. You know, they're kind of a self-taught. I think I understand what people say when they say that. But in my perspective, how can I teach myself something that I don't know? That kind of sounds like an oxymoron, but it's how can I teach myself something that I don't know? But my perspective is whatever I learn in Scripture, I have not taught myself. For if I understand Scripture right, it's the Holy Spirit that teaches me. So it's really not self-taught. It's just an example of sometimes how we read the Bible then. You know, it's, oh, what can I learn today? And then trying to self rather than, Lord, as I read, could you teach me what you want to teach me? It's a total new perspective. And it gives us a different priority, you know, it will bring a priority of reading the Scripture then. Because we want to learn, and the Holy Spirit will teach us. Now, I know I haven't been gotten into the Scripture yet. It starts out as laying up treasures, lay not up for yourself treasures on earth. What is your treasure? Why I want to lay this foundation is so when we enter into the Scripture, so we understand what a treasure really is. You know, the gift is the gift or the giver, the treasure. Sometimes we'll treasure like salvation. I am adopted. I am accepted. I am loved. I am redeemed. I'm predestined. Whatever the list is. And we cling to that. That's a treasure that we have. If that's our perspective, that's always what we're going to be pursuing. We're going to have to be feeling that. But really, that's just a gift from God. And God is really the treasure, the giver of that gift. The treasure that's in heaven, where that becomes our treasure and we seek Him and we're no longer so concerned about it doesn't mean we don't think about it, but that I'm loved, I'm whatever all, is because I am it. I'm just in it. I've entered into it. I no longer have to pursue it. I am it. It's a total new perspective. It changes our life. It changes our priorities in what we pursue. We're just in it. Does this make sense? Like Abraham, that promised son. Then all of a sudden God said, Abraham, the son that you love, go and offer him up as a sacrifice. Now, is my wife or my children, are they the treasure? Or is the giver the treasure? See, Abraham, God was his treasure. He got up early the next morning and away we went. Took his son and God's going to prepare a way, whatever. We're going. He had his perspective right of who God is. And his priority was, I'm going to obey God. And that's what he practiced.
See, Abraham's perspective of God was he believed. Cause him to trust God, priority. Therefore, he obeyed, which was the practice. So, when our perspective of Jesus' teaching is that he really means what he says, our priorities will be aligned to his teaching, and his practices will follow. So, I'm ready to go into the scripture now. As I read it, and I'll display it. Read it and listen or whatever in the perspective that you would be one of the disciples and you have never heard it before. Because they had never heard it before. Now what is he really saying? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust does destroy, and there where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. May I give a little story? Back in the day, when he was teaching this, they, from what I understand, there's dirt walls or whatever, no security alarms. So when somebody found out that they had a lot of possessions, they would just grab a shovel and dig in and get what they wanted. So then the disciples knew what he was talking about. It can easily be stolen. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If, therefore, the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and body more than clothing? This was in the day of slaves. So if we see it in that perspective, they understood. They only had one master. The slave couldn't have two masters. So they understood it, what he's saying. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? And that is actually the stature, I'm kind of getting ahead again, but it came to my mind, I'm going to share it. That can't even be time. It's not, I always thought it was just adding a cubit to your height. I don't like being short. I want to be taller. No, you can't, by worrying, you can't add to your life. In fact, worrying will decrease your life. It's scientific proof. Stress causes diseases. It will shorten your life. So, why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O, you of little faith. I think Jesus would have told me that numerous times already in my life. You have little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles, the pagans, the heathens seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, are you ready for a verse-by-verse exposition next time? Well, I had you worried. I don't want them taters burning. In essence, the main thing is to make the main thing the main thing. And to do that, it takes a pure heart, a pure soul, the pure control system of yourself. I wasn't going to say it, but here we go. I didn't prepare this, but God, I sense I'm supposed to. The body, soul, and spirit. That's what we're made of. And when we're born, the spirit is silent, dormant, whatever you would say. It's all the soul, your feelings, your mind, will, and emotions is all controlled or influenced, I should say, by the body, the flesh. If my diaper's wet, I cry. If I'm hungry, I cry. It's everything about myself. I am uncomfortable, so make me comfortable some way. That's how we're born. Then, when we're born again, when we are born again, for you hath he quickened, made alive. The Spirit has now come alive within you. Now that Spirit, the Holy Spirit is in your spirit, witnessing with your spirit, and that Spirit is now influencing your soul, your mind, will, and emotion. We are dead to self. What that means is we no longer are to allow the flesh, the senses, five senses, to dictate or to influence my mind, will, and emotion, my heart. That's what this is all talking about, is when we're that born again, the soul, the heart, the pure heart. The pure heart is what is influenced by the Holy Spirit witnessing to our spirit, and that is now influencing our heart. That's where the pure heart comes in. And then we see God, because it is God. It takes God working in our lives and giving us a new heart, soul, which is causing our spirit to come alive. It's the new birth. That's when our perspectives change in life. Our perspective is that we are here to be kingdom builders. And it's in and through Jesus Christ, investing in eternity and into the kingdom. That's what will become our priority. Because we're a kingdom builder. Our perspective of what my life is now, what am I here for? I'll tell you, if you're born again, you're here to build the kingdom. I'll help you out. You're here to build the kingdom. True biblical perspectives and priorities are essential to abundant life in Christ Jesus. So do we have eternal perspectives? Or have we settled for earthly and temporal ones? So I encourage you, let's have kingdom perspectives so that we can have kingdom priorities and kingdom practices. Let's be kingdom builders. Let's pray.